to February and to its very first edition of CNN 10. I'm Carl Azus. We hope you had a great weekend or that you have a great one coming up. Let's get started. There's a new rule in the United States for people traveling aboard planes, trains, and some automobiles. The Centers for Disease Control will require masks to be worn on public transportation, and not just in the vehicles themselves. The order applies to airports, train and subway stations, ferry terminals and ports, places where people wait to use public transportation. The CDC says the masks can be cloth, disposable, or even homemade, and passengers can only take them off for short periods of time to eat, drink, or take medicine. Many companies, like airlines, already had mask requirements in place, but up until now, it hasn't been the law. The new CDC requirement effectively makes it one, and that means that people could face criminal charges if they refuse to wear a mask. This doesn't apply to kids under 2 years old or people who have disabilities and can't wear a mask. Medical officials say the United States has recorded the most positive coronavirus tests in the world, more than 26 million of the 103 million reported globally. And a CDC official says requiring masks on transportation systems will protect Americans and provide confidence in being able to travel safely. Last year at this time, the agency did not recommend that the public wear masks. And a medical professor told CNN this was because there was only, quote, thin and questionable scientific evidence that wearing masks had any benefit. The CDC's new requirement takes effect Monday night, and it would apply to the Hyperloop concept we've told you about in the past, if that ever gets off the ground. It's not known yet if Hyperloop could be practical or affordable, but proponents of it have a lot of enthusiasm for the magnetic train with a lot of speed.
I'd love to say that you'll be able to travel at 500 miles an hour without spilling a drop. Look, we are using a proprietary magnetic levitation system. You're literally floating on a bed of air, and it will be super smooth. We are able to achieve these speeds in a way that we've never seen before. One of the advantages of what we're doing is that we control the environment. The tube is completely serene in the way that it is. So if we think about air travel and turbulence, we don't have any of that that is taking place here right now.
Richard B. Smith teamed up in the 1930s to write one hit song, White Christmas, with a song in my heart, White Cliffs of Dover, or Winter Wonderland. Bernard wrote the tune, and Smith wrote the lyrics to Winter Wonderland. That seasonal classic describes the upside of winter weather, but a lot of Americans are seeing it to the extreme. A cold front swept into the West Coast last week. It brought powerful winds and heavy rains into central and northern California. Here's a look at what that rain did to part of Highway 1, the Pacific Coast Highway. As the system made its way east, it put more snow in the forecast for Iowa, Wisconsin, and Illinois. And as it swept over Pennsylvania, meteorologists said it would intensify. The result of that? A nor'easter bringing possible blizzard conditions to New York on Monday. Wind gusts nearing 50 miles per hour, more than a foot of snow in that region, and half a foot or more possible in Washington, D.C. Residents were warned of ice and sleet from Maryland down to North Carolina. In all, more than 110 million Americans, or one-third of the country's population, were set to feel the chill of winter early this week. To explain some of the different types of that weather, here's CNN 10 contributor Tyler Mulvey.
Carl, a small change in temperature can make a big difference in the type of weather you see from late fall to early spring, the period when the U.S. gets impacted by winter storms. These systems can bring a variety of impacts, rain, freezing rain, sleet, and snow. The temperature that determines whether you receive liquid or frozen precipitation is, of course, 32 degrees Fahrenheit, aka the freezing point. But here's the kicker. It's not all about the temperature we can feel here on the ground. Just as important is what's happening thousands of feet in the air between the ground and the clouds. When particles of ice fall from a cloud and immediately encounter warm, above freezing air all the way to the surface, it will melt. And you'll need the umbrella because all you'll get is plain old rain. On the flip side, if those same ice particles were surrounded by cold, below freezing air all the way down, it stays frozen. And you'll need a shovel because you're going to see all snow. Things get interesting when these particles fall through a mixture of above and below freezing temperatures. When there's a deep melting layer followed by a little sliver of sub-freezing air at the surface, you'll get freezing rain. The warm air completely melts the ice into rain and then doesn't have time to refreeze back into snow. The rain becomes what we call super cooled and immediately freezes to the ground upon contact. Sleet is similar, except it falls through a smaller layer of warm air and has time to refreeze just a bit before reaching the ground. And that, Carl, is the science behind wintry precipitation.
Staten Island Chuck, Chattanooga Chuck, Woody the Woodchuck, how much would Woody chuck? These are the names of some lesser-known groundhogs, animals that once played a part in ancient weather forecasting and modern forecasting, at least for entertainment value. General Beauregard Lee and the famous Punxsutawney Phil also factor into this report by CNN's Allison Chinchar.
I'm CNN meteorologist Allison Chinchar. On Tuesday, Punxsutawney Phil, the most famous groundhog in all the land, is expected to make his prediction of what the weather is going to be like for the next several weeks. The question comes down to, will he see his shadow or not? Usually, for the last many years, Phil overwhelmingly has seen his shadow, meaning more winter will be expected. Since 1887, he's seen his shadow 104 times. He has only not seen his shadow about 20 times. Now, I will say in terms of accuracy, he has only been right about 50% of the time in just the last 10 years. However, year over year, his odds have been increasing and improving in the last few. The forecast for Tuesday in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania calls for snow. A lot of it. There will already likely be at least 4 to 6 inches of snow on the ground from the previous snowstorm that will be moving through the couple of days before, but additional snowfall may be coming down when he's making his prediction, which means it might be a little difficult to see his shadow. Temperatures also very cold, likely in the mid-20s, with a wind chill only in the low to mid-teens. If that works out, most likely Phil will not see his shadow, predicting an early spring. The question becomes, does Mother Nature agree with that prediction? Looking at NOAA's long-term forecast from March through May, it does look like the vast majority of the country is looking at much warmer than normal temperatures. So in theory, yes, spring is more likely to come early in terms of temperatures. We can expect wetter than normal conditions across portions of the Great Lakes and drier than normal conditions across portions of the Southwest. But if you don't like Phil's prediction, whatever it may be, the good news is there's a lot more groundhogs who also make predictions, and chances are at least one of them will give you the prediction that will make you happy.
Groundhogs are also known as whistle pigs, and I bet they'd really ham up the forecast. They'd be baking it up as they went along. Now, some might call that a pork choice. Their friends might rib them about it or bust their chops, but don't chuck the idea altogether, because turning Groundhog Day into Whistle Pig Day would leave some pickled pink. I'm Carl Azuz for CNN 10. Timberlake High School is in Timberlake, South Dakota. Why do we mention that? Because they subscribed and left a comment on our YouTube channel. Have a great day, y'all.